Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app, this is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, the 100% Redress Party and a number of independent Donegal County councillors have formed a working group. The details, meanwhile, of an agreement reached by Cabinet this week on SEAI grants for defective concrete block homeowners have been released today. Sinn Féin's Michelle Gildernew has moved ahead of independent Arnhem candidate Kieran Mullooly in the race for the fifth and final MEP seat in the Midlands North West constituency. And two people have been rescued after their yacht got into difficulty near Port Salon this morning. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport coming up with Aisling Kelly at about 5:15, followed by Farming News and Views with Chris Ashmore. First in news though, the 100% Redress Party and a number of independent Donegal County councillors have formed a working group. Councillor Michael McBride, one of the independents, committing to cooperate over the coming five-year term, believes the group has the potential to become a formidable force within the council chamber. The door remains open for other independents to become involved, while it's understood parties have also held talks. Councillor McBride says the focus is to deliver redress for defective block homeowners.
I do believe that there has been a meeting of parties called. I haven't been notified of that meeting myself, but we'll just wait and see how all that plays out. The 100% Redress Party were given a mandate by the people, and the independents that have agreed to join the group, they want to stand shoulder to shoulder with these people and the 100% Redress and send a clear message to the government that they must deliver the people's document. That's the position we're in at the moment. I feel we're in a strong position. It'll play itself out over the next number of days, but I'd be hoping maybe that another few members might come on board, and that will be our group going forward for the new council.
You believe this is going to change the face of Donegal County Council in the sense that there's going to be a lot more debate, there's going to be a lot more focus, particularly on the 100% redress issue, but that group has made it clear there are other issues that they'll be very much pushing as well.
As we know, it's a changed council going in. The makeup of the council's different. I don't think the way the council does its business, the rules won't change, but the personality certainly will change. I think, you know, we feel that this group is putting itself in a good position to help the people with defective concrete blocks in Donegal and right out through the whole of Ireland. And that will be top of the agenda for most of us. There will be plenty of other issues that we deal with on a day-to-day basis. We've dealt with it in the last council and the council before that, and we have some new members in there as well. So the other items don't go off the agenda. Everything stays on the table.
Meanwhile, the details of an agreement reached by Cabinet this week on SEAI grants for defective concrete block homeowners have been released today. Environment Minister Eamon Ryan has confirmed that grants of up to €37,550 will be available for homeowners availing of the Enhanced Defective Concrete Block Grant Scheme to ensure that the rebuilt or renovated homes are well insulated and heated with a heat pump. Donal Kavanagh has more.
Minister Ryan says new bespoke arrangements will apply exclusively to DCB-affected homeowners, will address barriers to accessing the grants and ensure that the schemes operate in a streamlined way. He says DCB homeowners will also be able to opt for a number of other SEAI schemes. In a statement, Minister Ryan adds SEAI has already contacted approximately 200 affected homeowners who previously expressed an interest in the grants and will be implementing the new approach from next month. He's promising a focused communications campaign in Donegal and other affected regions to maximise awareness and uptake. Full details of the scheme and the application process on our website, highlandradio.com.
Sinn Féin's Michelle Gildernew has moved ahead of independent Ireland candidate Kieran Mullooly in the race for the fifth and final MEP seat in the Midlands North West constituency. The former Fermanagh South Tyrone MP received over 20,000 transfers from her party colleague Chris McManus on the 18th count and is now almost 1,700 ahead. ANT leader Pádraig Tobin was eliminated with over 56,000 votes and his transfers will be distributed during the next count. He believes his vote distribution will favour Kieran Mullooly.
It's a very interesting situation in terms of the transfers at the moment and where my transfers will go. There's no doubt that there's a big anti-establishment element of the ANT vote, which will probably favour Kieran Mullooly. Yeah, but there's also a United Ireland element of our vote, especially in the border areas, which may help Michelle.
Two people have been rescued after their yacht got into difficulty near Port Salm this morning. Lough Swilly Ornellay is reminding people to contact emergency services if you witness someone in difficulty in the water. Katie Gillen reports.
At 10:23 a.m. today, Lough Swilly Ornellay were tasked by Malinhead Coast Guard Radio to assist a yacht that was having difficulty mooring near Port Salon in poor conditions. The all-weather lifeboat was launched up on Crana Pier and the volunteer crew quickly made their way to the yacht with two people on board. The volunteers helped secure the yacht, and when they were happy with both boat and crew, they returned to Buncrana, refuelled and made ready for service. The ORNLI is reminding people that if you see someone in difficulty in or on the water, dial 999 or 112 and ask for the Coast Guard.
The Health Minister has accepted, while there has been an increase of 437 more staff working at Letterkenny University Hospital, that more needs to be done. Donegal Deputy Pearce Doherty raised the lack of neurology services at the hospital with Minister Stephen Donnelly in the Dáil earlier today. The Patients Deserve Better campaign has identified Letterkenny as one of five hospitals across the country in need of significant improvements in terms of neurology services. Minister Donnelly said a review is ongoing and the results should be available by the end of September. He acknowledged that the results were initially promised by the end of this month and promised that once the recommendations are finalised, the government will act quickly.
The review is nearly complete. Let's get the review. Let's see what they recommend. And if they are recommending a neurology post in Letterkenny or two, or you know, a team that moves between Sligo and Letterkenny, let's see what they come back with. And then certainly we'll take that very seriously and we can look to that through new development funding.
The campaign group, Patients Deserve Better, have outlined the impact, including the increased costs and increased waiting lists when services aren't provided locally. But it's not just the campaign group. Your own HSE's model of care report suggests that there's a need for a consultant neurologist to provide neurology services at Letterkenny University Hospital. And this is just another example, Minister. And let me say this, of our hospital, Letterkenny University Hospital, being in a perpetual state of crisis.
The Finance Minister says a documentary alleging abuse and misuse in the slaughtering of racehorses could have wider implications for the EU food chain. The RTÉ investigation into an abattoir in Strathan in County Kildare found alleged illegal activities around the laundering of horses' identities. Horse Racing Ireland says the findings were appalling. In the Dáil, Finance Minister Michael McGrath says the findings have wider implications.
Traceability, the use and misuse of microchips and indeed fake passporting in respect of horses. And that does raise concerns about public health as well as animal welfare. If animals ended up in the European Union food chain that shouldn't have, then that is a cause of real concern.
A woman has died following a crash in Castlederg yesterday. 75-year-old Patricia McGarvey from Castlederg died following a three-car collision on the Strabane Road at 2:10 yesterday afternoon. Emergency services, including the air ambulance, attended the scene of the collision involving a blue Audi A3, silver MGHS Excite and red Vauxhall Corsa. Miss McGarvey was treated at the scene and transferred to hospital via air ambulance, where she passed away. Police say casualties from the two other vehicles sustained non-life-threatening injuries. A full investigation is ongoing and police are appealing to anyone with information or who has dashcam footage to contact them on the non-emergency number 101. 50 job losses are on the way for Derry. First Source has announced plans to offer redundancy to 63 workers, 50 of them located in the Derry area. It comes after the company rolled out 200 redundancies last summer. People Before Profit Foyle election candidate Sean Harkin says the decision has emphasised the need for trade unions.
I contacted the company, contacted First Source. I'm eager to have a meeting with them to impress upon them that you know, the impact that the loss of these jobs will have, and if there is a way for the company to keep the workers on rather than laying them off in a different capacity if necessary. The workers in Derry at its facility here have probably made them a lot of money over many years, and I think that there has to be a way to protect these jobs. I mean, we want to meet with the company now, and I've been in contact with the Aegis Trade Union about doing whatever we can to support the workers in their redundancy claim or in an effort to kind of protect the jobs. This is another example why joining a trade union and getting trade union recognition is very important. The workers here don't have a union. They don't have trade union recognition. So that puts them at a much weaker and more vulnerable position. We think that for organisations and corporations that get funding from InvestNI, there should be accountability. They need to be in negotiations with relevant minister, with council, about the impact that job layoffs might have on the area and on workers, and they allow the government and others to do everything we can to work with the company to make sure that the layoffs don't happen. So this is about the kind of economic model, handing a lot of public money to corporations who make huge profits where there's no trade union. Companies tend to make decisions on a short-term basis about short-term profits.
Donegal Deputy Thomas Pringle says the government has no understanding of the experience of families with children with disabilities and is calling for more school-based summer provision and other measures. Addressing the Dáil during the debate on a Sinn Féin special education motion, Deputy Pringle urged the government to reverse a decision to cut summer provision capitation payments from €45 to €30 a week. Deputy Pringle said more school-based summer provision must be made available, and when September comes, children with special needs should have access to appropriate education in their own community.
A huge issue that is faced by families with children with disabilities. There is no understanding whatsoever on the part of the government of the experience of these families. Despite the fact that every disabled persons organisation has emphasised how important summer provision is, the summer months can be a difficult time for children with disabilities and their families. The break in routine, lack of structure and less social opportunities make the summer months seem long, and summer provision is a much needed outlet at this time. The fact that every family is not given as much needed and valued opportunity is not good enough.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. Cross the finish line in style with trainers from michaelmurphysports.ie.
Time now for all the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Michaela. We're going to start with golf. Mathieu Pavin sits top of the leaderboard on day one of the US Open. The Frenchman is 4 under par through 11 holes of his first round and 1 clear of the chasing pack. Waterford Seamus Power is level par after 15 holes today, while Tom McKibben is 3 over on what is his major debut. Fellow Irish players Rory McIlroy and Shane Lowry go out later. McIlroy hits the fairways just before 6:15 Irish time, and Lowry begins his challenge at right about 6:45. World number one Scottie Scheffler will bid for his 6th win of the year when he tees off in North Carolina. Tiger Woods is 3 over par today, with 4 holes left to play. On the LPGA Tour, Leona Maguire begins the defence of her title at the Meijer Classic in Michigan. Stephanie Meadow is also in the field there. Football-wise, there's a full programme of League of Ireland fixtures tonight. In the First Division, Finn Harps take on UCD at Finn Park, looking to bounce back from the defeat at Cove last time out. Darren Murphy's side will be hoping to head into the mid-season break on a positive note. Dermot Doherty and Declan Boyle will have updates as from the 7:45 kickoff here on Highland, and they will also form part of the Score programme from 7:30, where they will be looking ahead to the fixtures which are taking place tonight in both the First Division and the Premier Division as well. Also tonight, the First Division, Cork City host Cove Ramblers, Kerry play Longford Town, Wexford take on Treaty, and Athlone Town visit Bray Wanderers. In the Premier Division, second place Derry City will be hoping to keep the pressure on leader Shelburne. They're away to Bohemians. Derry are chasing a 3rd win in a row. Shelburne, meanwhile, go to Waterford, looking to improve on their 2-point lead at the top. It's Dundalk versus Sligo Rovers. Galway United take on Drogheda United, and the champion Shamrock Rovers make the trip to St Patrick's Athletic. Here's St Pat's boss Stephen Kenny on the visit off the hoops.
It's been a hectic 3 weeks. Obviously, I come in 6 games in 3 weeks, first 3 weeks, so it's been quite hectic. Shamrock Rovers are obviously not had the season they'd want, but they're still very much in contention for the league. You know, we've got to be at our best. We've got to put in a really big performance, and the games against the other previous top two, Derry and Shells, were very, very tight affairs, and obviously the very late winner against Shelburne. So this team are capable of raising their game in particularly Dublin derbies particularly, and you know, there's no doubt about that.
All games of course tonight kick off at 7:45. Cross channel football, West Ham have signed Brazilian winger Luis Guilherme from Palermas. The 18-year-old's moved to the London Stadium on a 5-year contract for £25 million. Newcastle have also confirmed the signing of defender Lloyd Kelly. He'll move to St James's Park at the start of next month once his contract with Bournemouth expires. And into Europe, Borussia Dortmund have sacked their head coach Edin Terzic. He leaves just weeks after their defeat to Real Madrid in the Champions League final. He oversaw, however, a poor league campaign in the German Bundesliga, where they finished 27 points off the winners Bayer Leverkusen. The IRFU say growing the women's game is a major priority. The union has published its strategy document for the next 4 years, and the IRFU will appoint a women's strategy implementation lead to help develop and coordinate the delivery of commitments both on and off the pitch. We did, of course, refer to the score there earlier in the bulletin. As we told you, Jeremy Doherty and Declan Boyle will be talking League of Ireland football live from Finn Park in Ballybuffet from around 7:30 tonight. But in the first half of the programme, Brendan Kilcoyne will join us to preview Donegal's clash with Clare in the All-Ireland Championship. That is a fixture, of course, that is live here on Highland this coming Saturday. While Ballyliffin Golf Club are hosting the RNA Amateur Open next week, we speak with Ballyliffin manager John Farn and the tournament director, Fraser Munro. It's all part of the Score programme tonight after the 7 o'clock news. Michaela.
Thanks, Aisín. For weather now, mainly cloudy this evening with a few bright spells mixed with scattered showers. More clear spells will develop tonight, but widespread showers, some heavy, will spread overnight. Lowest temperatures of 7 to 10 degrees. The closing headlines this evening. The 100% Redress Party and a number of independent Donegal County councillors have formed a working group. Councillor Michael McBride, one of the independents, committing to cooperate over the coming five-year term, believes the group has the potential to become a formidable force within the council chamber. Sinn Féin's Michelle Gildernew has moved ahead of independent Ireland candidate Ciarán Mullooly in the race for the fifth and final MEP seat in the Midlands Northwest constituency. The former Fermanagh South Tyrone MP received over 20,000 transfers from her party colleague Chris McManus on the 18th count and is now almost 1,700 ahead. Two people have been rescued after their yacht got into difficulty near Port Salm this morning. Box Willie Ornelai is reminding people to contact emergency services if you witness someone in difficulty in the water. And the Health Minister has accepted, while there has been an increase of 437 more staff at Letterkenny University Hospital, that more needs to be done. Donegal Deputy Pearce Doherty raised the lack of neurology services at the hospital with Minister Stephen Donnelly in the Dáil today. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. Coming up next is Farming News and Views with Chris Ashmore, and we'll be back with an update at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Coming up, we'll hear about a new farmer's market in South Donegal that'll be up and running tomorrow. But first, Agriculture Minister Charlie McConnellogue this week announced the commencement of payments in respect of claims submitted under the Targeted Agriculture Modernisation Scheme, known as TAMS3. And making the announcement, the minister said that the scheme has been a hugely successful and beneficial scheme for farmers. There are 10 individual schemes within TAMS 3. Among the most popular schemes is the Animal Welfare Nutrient Storage Scheme, which has a 40% grant rate with a €90,000 investment ceiling. Other popular schemes are the Organic Farming Capital Investment Scheme with a 60% grant rate, again with a €90,000 investment ceiling. There's also a Farm Safety Capital Investment Scheme with a 60% grant rate and a Low Emission Slurry Spreading Equipment Scheme at 60% for the grant rate. Now this has a €40,000 investment ceiling. Reacting to the commencement of the TAMS 3 payments, IFA National Rural Development Chair John Curran said it is essential that the maximum number of farmers are paid and paid promptly. Now, tomorrow we'll see a farmers market up and running in Rosnaula. It'll serve a big part of the south of the county and has already generated a lot of interest. Well, delighted to say I've been speaking with Lisa McCorley, one of the organisers and a
member of the Friends of Rosnella. And Lisa, much to look forward to. This first Rosnella Farmers Market is taking place this Friday, starting off at 10 o'clock. And maybe you can tell us a little bit about the idea behind it all.
Yeah, we're really excited. Rosnella Farmers Market kicks off this Friday at 10 in the Council Car Park in Rosnella. And we're really excited about it. This is an event which has kind of came about organically. I approached the Friends of Rosnella, who had kind of liked this idea of having a farmers market. And the Friends of Rosnella, a community-based organisation here in Rosnella, thought it was a great idea to get behind. And the market's all about the community, and it's all about coming along with a friend for a chat and enjoying some shopping and enjoying local produce.
And I think I'm right in saying, you know, there really isn't anything in this area, so you're really filling a void in the market.
Yeah, I suppose for some time now, lots of people in the area have been saying that they would like a community event, but also that that there's no real farmers market from, you know, as far as Letterkenny down as far as Cliffany. And so there's a big kind of gap in the market, I suppose, to provide a space for local farmers, local producers, to have a place where they can go to sell their produce or to connect with like-minded people and embrace those principles of farm to fork, local goods, building the local wealth and the kind of circular economy. Those are the kinds of principles that we're really trying to get behind, providing that place where local farmers in the area can come together, connect, learn and share ideas from each other, but also have a place where they can ultimately sell their produce.
So you floated the idea a few weeks ago and you've got a great response.
Yeah, as I said, it's happened really organically. It was a few different farmers and then they had approached the Friends of Rosnella. We had, you know, kind of put a little bit of work in to try and get it off the ground, spoke with the council, various councillors. And then once we put it up on social media and asked vendors to come, you know, if they were interested in, you know, in this idea, we had a great response. We're really excited. We have a great selection of vendors lined up for this week and this Friday. And as we develop through the summer, what we've seen is people contacting us and saying, I don't have anything yet because, you know, I'm waiting on my produce to grow, because that's the nature of, you know, of local goods and local farm produce, is that, you know, things will come into season at different times, but they're hoping to get there, you know, throughout the summer. So we're hoping for that diversity and for the vendors to change as well a little bit. But we have a really exciting base to start from this Friday, and we'll go from there. And this is, you know, we're very much learning on our feet. We're just, you know, we're excited about it, and we're excited to see how it evolves and what it, you know, can offer.
Now, it's called a farmer's market. There'll be plenty of local produce, but it's not just all about the food side of things. I see you're going to have things ranging from furniture to flowers, maybe handmade baskets. So I'm sure that'll grow as well.
Yeah, we're really, you know, conscious of being focusing, I suppose, on the farmers and artisanal side and providing a place for local crafts people to have an opportunity as well to sell the things. But I suppose the principles that are at the heart of it are all, you know, handmade, local, and connecting, you know, local people to other local people. So we're trying not to kind of be based on these principles of, you know, bringing along your wholesale items or kind of, you know, that kind of thing. We really want to concentrate and make this a local farmers market for locally handcrafted goods or handcrafted products. So yeah, we have, you know, a selection of people who, you know, make bird boxes or, you know, flower pots, plant boxes, some hand-woven blankets. So a good diversity of things of people who, you know, are from the kind of the area. And what we're also trying to do throughout the summer is that as we develop this out, is to provide a space where we can have like little events attached to it. Our first one's going to be a kind of schools out for summer event where we'll invite the local kids to come down, you know, after they finish school and, you know, see the farmers market, and a place where they can, you know, play with their friends or their parents can stand and have a chat, get a cup of coffee and really embrace the community, kind of vibrant community spirit, in a beautiful place like Brasnala.
Yes, indeed. And I know from speaking to people involved in other farmers' markets and farm shops that a lot of people who maybe come along and buy some local fresh produce, it's not until they actually sample it, and they really do notice the difference between getting something so fresh and maybe purchasing something in a supermarket that could have taken weeks before it's actually gone onto the shelf. And that helps to bring them back again and again.
Yeah, like hopefully we know, like around Rosnala, we've got various different kind of local produce already in kind of various different honesty boxes. And just, you know, from a personal point of view, I notice the difference in eggs that are, you know, come from hens local to here or locally produced raw milk or whatever. So you really do. And there's a growing demand for that sort of farm to fork kind of organic, locally produced produce.
To recap, it's on this Friday, 10 till 1 o'clock. It's at the Council Car Park in Rosnala. And if anybody wants to find out more, I suppose your Facebook page is a good first port of call.
Yeah, and the Rosnala Farmers Market or the Friends of Rosnala will be sharing the contact as well. So, yeah, we'd love to see you there on Friday and any Friday over the summer. And we hope really much that the weather is good to us.
And that was Lisa McCorley. In other news, IFA Rural Development Chair John Curran has called for common sense to apply and for Minister McConnell-Logue to announce a further extension for spreading under the National Liming Programme until the end of December. He pointed out that the current deadline is June the 28th and explained that while extensions earlier this year helped, the persistent wet weather for much of the period since, coupled with heavy grass covers, has significantly diminished opportunities to spread lime. The Irish Cattle and Sheep Farmers Association President Sean McNamara has called on Minister McConnell-Logue to ensure that all remaining acres payments are issued this month as promised. Mr. McNamara said that farmers will not accept any more excuses, and he added that timely payments are not just a matter of financial fairness but also essential for the sustainability of many farming operations. Meanwhile, the ICSA has announced the appointment of Hugh Farrell to the position of ICSA General Secretary. A native of County Cavan, Mr. Farrell has been a senior official within the ICSA for many years, most recently serving as chair of the Animal Health and Welfare Committee. Finally, just to give you some advance notice of a forthcoming Chagas Arrivo Focus Farm Walk later this month. It ties in with the Arrivo Farm Profitability Programme. On Friday, the 28th of June, there will be a walk on the farm of Martin and Lisa Alexander in Killigordon. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, June 13th. The death has occurred of Noel O'Donnell, Belcritch, Kincassa. Noel's remains are reposing in McGlynn's funeral home today with rosary at 8 p.m. and tomorrow from 2 p.m. with rosary at 6 p.m. and a private removal afterwards to his own home in Belcritch. Funeral mass on Saturday morning at 11 a.m. in St. Mary's Church, Kincassa, with interment afterwards in Critch Cemetery. The house will be private on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member or Sean McGlynn Funeral Director. The death has taken place on Michael McLaughlin, Ballyheeny, Malinhead. Michael's remains are reposing at his home. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 11:20 a.m. going to Star of the Sea Church, Malinhead, for Requiem Mass at 12 noon. Followed by burial afterwards in Lag Cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to Carndonagh Community Hospital, care of any family member or Kelly's funeral directors. The death has taken place of Annette Gormley, Carnegarve, Moville. Annette's remains are reposing at Eamon McLaughlin's funeral home, Station Road, Carndonagh, this evening, where you are welcome to pay your respects. Funeral from there at 10:30 a.m. on Saturday morning for 11 a.m. funeral mass in St. Pius X Church, Moville, followed by burial in Ballybrack Graveyard. Funeral mass can be viewed on movilleparish.com. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to the Patients' Comfort Fund, Nazareth House, Fawn, care of any family member or Eamon McLaughlin Funeral Director. The death has occurred of Philomena McCulgan, Laga Curry, Isle of Doe, Clonmany. Remains reposing at her late residence. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:15 a.m. going to St Mary's Church, Clonmany, for Requiem Mass at 11 a.m. with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time please from 10 p.m. tonight. Family flowers only please. Donations if desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member or McFeely Funeral Directors. Funeral Mass can be viewed live on churchservices.tv. The death has occurred of Nan Doherty, Dewish, Ballybuffet, reposing at her home. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:20 a.m. for Requiem Mass in the Church of Mary Immaculate, Stranorlar, at 11 a.m. Interment in Stranorlar Cemetery. The Requiem Mass will be streamed live via the parish webcam. Family time from 10 p.m. tonight and before the funeral tomorrow morning. Donations in lieu of flowers, if so desired, to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member. The death took place on May 26, 2020, of Connell McMenamin, Manhattan, New York, and formerly of High Road, Letterkenny. Mass for the repose of his soul will take place in St. Noonan's Cathedral, Letterkenny, at 11 a.m. tomorrow morning, which can be viewed live on churchservices.tv, followed by interment of his ashes in the family plot in Conwell Cemetery. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.